have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Evening, good evening. It's Monday again here in the United States. I want to thank you all. We are on the Java for Live platform broadcasted here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Midwest of the United States. But globally, we are across social media platforms and the Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Cynthia R. Bennett. And I know that I have been missing a couple of Mondays, but there has been just a lot of exciting things that have been going on that we have officially moved into our office space here. And we're going to have some things that's going on this summer, so I'm excited about it and can't wait to share more about it. I also want to thank everybody that congratulated me on the Women of Achievement Award that I received. That whole process was just an awesome experience. Awesome experience. Lovely, wonderful group of women. So I just want to thank you. That is communities locally and globally. So I want to thank you, our viewers and our listeners, and ask that if this podcast helps you in any way, assist you, your family, your friends, or your associates. The Jobs Organization is asking you to take time to go out to our website at jobs.org and our social media pages to see the causes we raise for women and children. And so we want you to make sure that you be sure to like and share. Like and share our pages because we want to get those likes and we want you to definitely share them with your, because you never know who will need this information. So for more information about resources that we provide, the programs that we provide, and the things that we're doing in the community, or questions you may have, you can go to our website at jobs.org. But before we get started, I would like to read some of our announcements, and I'm going to shoot them down here. Add them to the stream, sorry. Our first one is our Sister Sis. This is our weekly support group session. Right now, they're still on Wednesdays, and it's going to be Zoom. But starting in June, we're going to probably bring them in-house where we will be at the office, our new location, and we're probably going to bring them down to maybe get home and pull them shoes off. That's a wrap. So we're going to move those up to our 5 o'clock. But to this last one for this month, we're going to have it on Zoom. If you would like to be a part of it, please email us, text us, or put it in the timeline or in the chat, and we will give you the Zoom information. Of course, if we don't get any calls and we don't receive any information, we won't be online that day. But we are here to serve you. Also, our upcoming developer program, our summer session, is on the way. The registrations are open. If you know any girls between the ages of 10 to 19 who can benefit from this program, teach them about entrepreneurial money management. Talk about how to build your own mobile app. They can be their own entrepreneur. They can make their own money. Or if they want to go into the IT career field, this is just a basic for them, but it's for 8 week, 8 days in the summer. This the summer, it is for 8 days, 2 weeks. And at the end of the program, we ask the families to come out. We will showcase your their app. We give them a $50 gift certificate. That is our way of telling them that we are going to sow into your, we're going to invest into your business. You know how it is to get paid for their work, their knowledge. That's what entrepreneur is, exchange, it's a resource and service. So we're out there on the website. Go out there and register our girls, first come, first serve. We have limited spaces because we are still adhering to the CDC guidelines, but we want your girls to be there. I promise you they will enjoy it. Also, we got coming up the Mini Shades of Chuck. Ladies, and this is for men too because we have some stuff there for men. This is just not a female event. Men wear Chucks too, Chuck tennis shoes. We want you to come out. This is going to be June the 11th. We have live entertainment. We're having a scavenger hunt. We have a food. We have a spoken word poetry. We're having a success story, a survivor success story on the grounds of the 417th Street, Adams Street Mansion. Anything on that ground, you can take pictures, selfies. It is a beautiful place, a beautiful place. If you don't know where it is, I would tell you to go out on Google Earth and put in 417 Adams Street, Ferguson, 63135, and you will see this beautiful, beautiful place. This is where this is going to be. We want you to go online, pay for your tickets. Your $40 is going to be towards your food, but guess what? Some of that $40 will be tax deductible because out of that $40, what comes to Jonathan, you will get your contribution statement at the end of the year. So please be sure to register online, or we'll have all your information. So at the end of the year, you can get your contribution letter. Hey, you all, community, that's the date right there, October the 8th, 2022, our walk run against abuse. The park is already, we have everything in place, the park. We are working with all our vendors. We're working with other domestic violence agencies that's going to be out there. Everything is going to be free from our tables. We ask you to register. The registration will open the day after the Shades of Chuck. Shades of Chuck is June the 11th. Registration for this will open June the 12th. We ask you to come out. That is the area. We ask you to come out and be a part of this. And so, again, this is our annual walk run against abuse. We are looking for you to be there. So those are our announcements. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, what is going on. Good evening, Shirley. I see you. I just want you all to see the announcements of what's going on in the community. It's still about you. It's about you. Everything we do is about you, raising awareness, helping you get out of these situations. So tonight, with that being said, I want to talk about family navigators. I put that in when I post the podcast, family navigators. What is it, and what are some of the reasons we need them? I've never heard of this before. I read this across the feed, and I'm so excited about this RSS feed that we keep that rolls through on our website, because anything that's dealing with domestic violence, help, resources, laws, whatever that comes down the pipe, we get to see it around the world. And I just happened to see something that said family navigators, and we want to talk about it. So with all the things that's going on in the world, this is something that just came about recently, but it's a needed resource. It's a needed service. And this started in Miami, but however, the same that went on in Miami, as tragic and sad as it was, that's happening in Missouri. It's happening in every other state and around the world, because domestic violence is not territorial. It doesn't care who you are, what you got, where you come from, what you look like, what kind of degree you have, what kind of job you have, what kind of money you have. It doesn't care. And so I think this is something that's worth investigating. I think this is something that's worth looking into across the United States, because this is something that came out of a tragic need that we're going to share and talk about a little bit tonight, and just to kind of get a glimpse of what it is and just something to look out for. So family navigators, on the role of a single point, they being a single point of contact for members for those who can benefit from being in an integrated care model or some kind of model where, you know, you have an integrated of resources of people on a team that's working on your behalf. And they often work directly with families and care teams to meet the needs of health and social and educational goals, mainly with children. But I am going to talk about how, even if you're dealing with domestic violence and you're dealing with life, because life happens to all of us, you know, this is an added a resource that is beneficial. And so family navigators, they serve as a trusted support system for families as they navigate the services, human services, social services, anything that they need that they're trying to work with and support needed to strengthen their child's well-being. And I'm going to this why they're talking about the children's well-being, because you know what? If we don't have ourselves together, then oftentimes, the children suffer. When we're dealing with stuff and stress, I'm talking about we as parents, whether you're a male or a female, a grandmother or a caregiver, me mom, mama, big mama, whoever, if we don't have our stuff together and if we're under all this stress and strain and dealing with life and stuff, wholly be there for our children who need us. And a lot of times our kids, you know, kids, they don't know what's going on. They may have an idea or they may think they know, but deep down, they really don't know because their little minds are not even, they can't even fathom all the stuff, adult stuff. They can't. That's why we have to be careful that we don't allow our kids to be subjected to stuff, adult things. They cannot handle it. They cannot handle it mentally. They cannot handle it emotionally. They cannot handle it physically. And so we have to be careful and make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and we are getting the resources and the services that we need to make sure that we don't take stuff out on our kids. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you're stressed out and upset and you're already mad about whatever, things that's going on at work and at home or in the streets or driving or at the store, something going on. And all it takes is somebody to ask you, what's for dinner? Or where is the bread? And all of a sudden you done blew up on them. It is not the fact that they asked what was for dinner or where is the bread. That wasn't even the base of it. It's what you went through before. And so what seems so simple of just asking what's for dinner or where is the bread, it blew up. Everything was just all haywire. And so that's because we're dealing with other things and because we're not dealing with them effectively or we're not releasing the stress like we should, it often comes out in other areas. And I'm leading up to this story, this very tragic story, about why this family navigators came about. So I'm really trying to lay a platform here of why this is something that is a good resource, a beneficial, a necessary resource, and it's sad that it came about the way it came, but it's needed because this is what's going on all across the United States. Unlike many other care management roles like RN, nurses, and doctors, and LPNs, and, you know, all of those, a family navigator is intended to serve as a long-term support system for families. Usually up to a year, they follow that family, and if they want to, they can go to another family after a year, but it's usually a year, or then they can switch families based on the need. And they often conduct regular checkups or regular check-ins with the members and the family and the care team. So it's a whole circle of them, and they just try to take, you know, do checkups to find out how the parents are doing, how the children are doing, you know, what resources they're needing, what are they lacking, what's going on, you know, things that kind of help alleviate and to make life as normal, whatever that is nowadays, as possible or you know, as less stressful as possible. And so these check-ins that the family navigators perform or they focus on goals and strengths. They focus on, they help you, because when you're going through stuff, you know, you say, I want to do A, B, C, D, but when you're stressed out and you got all these other things, you have a, and I'm pretty sure you guys, ladies have, whoever this online, you set out to do something, and at the end of the day, you feel like you didn't do nothing. You didn't get nothing done that you wanted to do. It felt like you did nothing. You got nothing accomplished. You have any of those days? I know I have those days. I feel like I've done nothing. Like, where did the day go? I didn't get anything done. And so the goal of the family navigator is to focus on goals that they set with you or the family and the strength of theirs. You know, we all got weakness. We already know that. I don't need you to tell me my weakness. I know my weakness. Help me with my strength. Help me talk up our strength. Because when we constantly talk up the good and we talk up the stuff that we're good at, and somebody that's there, they're strong in this area. You know, we focus on that instead of focusing on the negative. Because, you know, negative brings, you know, depression. The negative brings down all these things. So the goal is to focus on goals that you're going to meet and your strength. Hey, you know what? We said we're going to meet A, B, C, and D. And maybe you didn't meet but two of them or the four. So let's not focus on the two you did. Okay, let's focus on the ones you met. That's how you... That's what a navigator is changing the mindset. Yes, we set out for four goals. You only made two. Let's focus on the two you made. Okay? And so that's the goal, is to focus on that and the strengths and any additional needs and services that that family may need. What is it that they need? What is it that you're lacking? What is it that we can go to next for the next set of goals, whatever the goals we set? What is it that we need that we didn't get or we didn't have before? Okay, so family navigators help family lower their stress so they can manage their lives. And I'm going to tell you, I know, because I've been there before. Been there, done that, stress. You know, not with just family, with job, family, situations, just everything. You know, so family navigators help the families that they're working with lower their stress so they can manage their lives, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you're trying to manage. When you got two and three, I could just think of somebody right off the top of my head at this moment that this will help them right here in St. Louis, where we live, that can help them manage their lives and the lives of their children a little more easily. Because it ain't, you know, parenting ain't coming easy with everybody, okay? Everybody is not June Cleaver. Everybody is not that. Everybody is not Happy Days, them folks. Parenting is not coming easy for everybody, okay? And so with the support, the family navigators, they're supporting. And they're helping with the physical and behavior health, such as early childhood and education. My God, with this education, the childhood, maybe assistance with food, the lack of food. And I see it even because every day when I was in schools and stuff, kids were like, Miss Bennett, can I go get this? Can I get this? Because they were hungry. And I'm going to tell you right now, by me being a teacher, when I was teaching in the schools, let me tell you something, parents. When a child is hungry, they can't function. They're not thinking about what's 1.2 plus 2.4. They're thinking about when they're going to get their next meal, where is it coming from, when they go eat. For low-income families only, or is this something that's available for all family types? I don't know, Nina. This particular program, we talk about Family Navigator. I am going to research this. I just came across this, and so far they just started this in Miami. And I'm getting ready to go to why they started this in Miami. It's a very tragic story, but that same story is in here in St. Louis. And so this is, for me, this is something we should look into. And I am going to look into it, this type of program, to see if there's anything similar that they're doing here. And so family navigators help with housing, transportation, child welfare, schools, things of that nature. And so why, and here we, this is where we've come into, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about Family Navigator in this case? Well, there was a domestic violence that plagued a family in Miami. And so now, before that happened, you know, they was dealing with all this domestic violence. Well, the mother allegedly ended up killing her children. It says a 41-year-old South Florida mother was arrested last month, which was in April, and accused of killing her two young children. So the authorities found the mother's son, which is a 3-year-old Jeffrey, and a daughter, 5-year-old Laura, dead inside the home in Little Haiti, which is Miami, Florida. But they said, the record said the family was going, DSF was dealing with this family as far back as 2017 when they started investigating the domestic violence case between the parents, the mother, the husband, and the wife. And so she was in an abusive relationship, but according to documents, because of the repeated abuse that she endured and her children endured and witnessed, she ended up homeless and ended up staying at a time at this shelter, women's shelter called Lotus House in Miami. And so thing about this is what I'm saying is the stress that she, and I am not excusing what she did, so I don't want you all to think that. I am not excusing what she did. But if you would see this picture of this lady, it's like she, it's just like there was no hope in her eyes. It's just like nothing, nothing. And she told him, I'm just tired of these kids. They have her on camera just pacing back and forth. And she said, I'm just tired. I don't want these kids no more. Well, they were already dead. She had already killed them. And so DFS, the Division of Children and Family Services, say, you know, always say they have a difficult responsibility of removing children from a home if the parent is unfit to care for their children, to harm the kids. But they did not see that in this case. You know, they did not, they were very involved in this case because of the repeated domestic abuse with the mother and the father. So they were very involved with this family, but they did not see a history of physical child abuse with the two young children that would give them reasons to remove them from the mother. And so they recommended services. They recommended many services to them, but they were, you know, they were refused. Ultimately, they were refused. And so they were saying hindsight, you know, of course, hindsight is 2020. If the family had utilized some of the services they offered, maybe it wouldn't have resulted in this outcome. You know, maybe she would have gotten the help because of all the stress she was dealing with, kind of navigated to help her walk her through these things. Because I'm telling you, some of the stuff that she was talking about, I see this in a particular person that I'm dealing with to this day, and I'm afraid for them. I am afraid for them. They got 4 kids, and they just not, it's they're struggling. I'm talking about not struggling financially, struggling dealing with parenting, struggling dealing with the kids and dealing with life and dealing with the job and all of that coming down on them, you know. And so I am very concerned about this, and this is something that we definitely need to look into even with other agencies. I am going to have a meeting and talk with them about, you know, Family Navigator. Is this something that we have that's comparable here? Because this is happening. And so for this reason, DFS in Miami launched the Family Navigator, and I believe they did this in 2020. They launched the Family Navigator Probe Initiative to enhance the safety and well-being of children after a report of potential child abuse and neglect. Now, in this case, it wasn't potential child abuse or neglect on the children, but it was what the mother was going through and all the stress she was going through. And so not having somebody help her deal with whatever she was going through, and, you know, at that age, 3 and 5, you know, they want stuff, they need stuff, they crying, and, you know, kids just being kids. So they're not understanding that mama is going through traumatic, because a lot of times most victims who are dealing with domestic abuse, guess what? Even though they're in pain and they're hurting, they got to put on a face to try to act like everything's okay for the kids. And they're in turmoil. And so this is what just happened in this particular case. So when a family is vulnerable, you know, or who has been in an abusive situation or living in a toxic environment, such as this lady that was, they are assigned now to a family navigator. And that person, again, will stay connected with the family and help them engage with services throughout providers in the community or with different organizations. I think that is something that is very much needed. Very much needed. I'm pretty sure that, you know, for them, that is a very useful resource that's needed. This resource is focused on supporting family well-being, understanding the needs of family, whether it is a complex family dynamics, whether it's abuse in there, whether it's, you know, a parenting skills, dealing with, you know, kids, having kids, and, you know, having all these adult issues that they just got to deal with and may not even be ready for. It could be dealing with substance abuse, dealing with tragic incidents, or sometimes with mental health crisis. It could be that too. When you think you're just really going to snap and you just don't know what to go left or right, they are there. They stay with you for a year just to see, to get you on your feet, just to, so you can understand and deal with this life. Because, you know, it ain't, you know, everybody's not tiptoeing through the tulip, okay? Everybody's not doing that. And so we, with the times we are living in and the stuff that people are going through, the stress that people are enduring and going through and the traumatic events that's going on and people losing jobs and the school system and, you know, kids, you know, not doing their best in school and just the all this zooming here and zooming that and, you know, folks just, it's just stressful. And I believe there is a great need for this type of resource across the United States to help families with life. This woman was going through abuse. I didn't read anywhere where it said she had family besides the man and them two kids that helped her. You know, she went through that, and she ended up, because what she went through and dealing with all that, she ended up killing her kids. She said, I don't want them no more. I don't want them. And she killed. So, I mean, of course she could have given them for adoption or just had somebody come get them. But if she's in that mind frame and she's not thinking where somebody could help her think through those things or give her a relief or a break or something, I don't think this story would have ended that way. I don't think it would have ended that way. So we need these. We need some family navigators. We're going to look into this. We need some family navigators. So cases like this, family, and what happened in this family happens less and less and less and less. So if you or someone you know needs help, we ask you to call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673 in the U.S., social media. Or you can call 1-800-292-2145 is our 800 number, and we have a local number, 314-269-0100. You can also find resources and support service in more than 205 countries at the No More Global Directory at nomoreredirectory.org, nomoreredirectory.org. There are over 205 countries in this directory, whether you in the United States or any of them other countries around the world. You can go to this directory and look to see what kind of resources are available to you in your country. This lady has to live with the fact that she killed her children. She has to live with the fact that she endured this abuse. I don't even know what a dad is, but he got to live with whatever he's living with. And then the kids are no more. You know, family navigators, whatever we want, we can call them whatever. I don't care what we call them. But we need to get something like this, this resource is here, because what happened in Miami is not territorial. It does not stay in Miami. It doesn't mean it's not happening anywhere. It's happening everywhere because people are stressed. People are tired. People are losing hope. And we have to be there to help them Today it could be them. Tomorrow it can be me. Or the next day it can be you. Who you are, what you got, where you come from. And so I want to leave you with this. Jeremiah 29:11, even though we're going through this, I leave you with this. We as a community, we as a people enduring this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He is giving you the end that he expects to give you. He wants to give you, and he wants to give you the end that you expect to have. And I know that's a thought of peace. He's thinking good thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil. And I want to leave you with that. God is thinking good thoughts of us. Okay? So remember, Jadasa is a community, a global community, a local community organization. And you are the community. Therefore, you are Jadasa. Is Jadasa 24/7, 365 days, all day, every day. To be well, and I want you to be whole. Good night.